Jeremiah 17. I just want to read this to you. It's not my text, but I just want to bring some assurance to you to understand, because I have a very clear message tonight, and I have to ponder some scriptures before you tonight. In Jeremiah 17:5. Now, credentials-wise, your credentials, you have to know your credentials. Amen. In the spirit, that the spirit world is higher than any world. Yes. And it takes faith, not fear. It takes faith to operate in the spirit world and knowing that God gonna take care of me. Now, I can't. I don't want to go too far. I got to teach. But you can't trust God in good weather. You got to know how to stand and trust God in the storm. Or you don't believe Him. Now, let me ask you a question. Boy, I didn't want to. Oh, Lord, Jesus. I need to talk to y'all privately. I'm going to talk to y'all privately because there's a few, some things I want to say to you that it don't even make sense what the people going through now. It don't even make sense. I'll read those scriptures after the service. Catch hand. You're scared, spread after. We're going to pray for our loved one. We're going to pray for the church at large, not Word of Life Christian Church, Lord. A lot of Word of Life members scared too, but we're going to pray for them right now. We're going to pray for them now. They're scared at home TV. Yeah, at home TV. They watch me now. They're scared. They're scared. I didn't teach them to be scared. Because if I knew something, I would. My wife was down there. Holding hand, my grandchildren holding hand. My wife right there on the first row. My family. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I know something. And that's why I'll handle business. I'll follow rules and regulations. But when I see something trying to happen, that shouldn't happen to the church. And I'm still talking. So pray for your loved one. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for a moment here and see, stir up the atmosphere, Father. It's a good atmosphere already. Father, we just thank you tonight. We pray for the loved ones. Pray for those who are lost. Thank you for the many souls that were saved this week. We thank you for the many souls going to be saved the rest of this week. We thank you for the laborers in the harvest. We just thank you so much tonight. We meet. We pray for, first of all, the people of God, that they trust you and that you move in a mighty way to show them your hand. And we thank for tonight that men will be born again, come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we study your word tonight, it'll come alive. The Holy Spirit will touch each one of us, give us a revelation. We thank you so much. We love you so much tonight, Father. We thank you for how far you brought us and how far you're going to bring us. We thank you for your covering, your protection. We thank you for the blood of Jesus is our covering. We thank you so much. We thank you that you charge your angels to cover us. We thank you so much, Father. We thank you we got the precious Holy Spirit in our midst tonight. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We're holding their hand that they're trusting you, and we give you the glory that your word will come forth tonight in revelation knowledge, touch people all over the world. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let you sit down. You might want to take notes on this. 365 is connected by live connection. Here's the word that the Lord gave me before I give you the text. The text is Matthew chapter 5. You may be seated, because you might want to take notes. There's a prophetical word that God has started giving me, prophetical word almost for every message now. And it's happened like this. I've been praying in tongue, and some words just keep coming up. And over the years, I've learned to ask him, what is this, Lord? What are you saying? So this is what he said to me. Come back. Come back. Come back to my promises.
All right.
They will take you places that has already been provided for you. They will take you places that has already been provided for you. In other words, the place waiting on you.
Amen.
Right. My promises are blood bought and blood washed. As you wrap your arms of faith around my promises, I'm wrapping my arm of fulfillment, of fulfilling my promises around you. Did you give that to them in the back? Do they have it? They don't have it because they couldn't, because they're trying to write. They can't, because I ain't got time to wait on. I see some of them writing real slow. They're on the first line. I done said the whole thing. She may put it on the board for you later on. You can look at it. In Matthew chapter 5, let's go to 2 Peter first. Go to 2 Peter. We'll come back to Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Peter to set up. Second Peter chapter 1. I'll tell you what we're talking about in a few minutes. I'm going to read the first four verses in that first chapter. And just, you're going to pass some grand places in the spirit. I won't stop all of them, but you're going to pass some grand. I want you to be looking for them. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2 now. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And notice verse 3. I just want you to, verse 3, because we're dealing with the promises of God. I say to you, the promises of God are actually the word of God. It's actually the truth of God. It's actually the grace of God. It's the mind of God, the promises of God. He put those promises there because they're already waiting on us.
Yes.
So nobody can argue about when God's spirit revealed to you a promise out of the word and your faith lock into it, you can't be stopped.
Amen.
Okay, so the promises of God are so important. The Lord wants me to teach you, and I'm glad at this time we need to hear this. The third voice, according as his divine power. Notice it said divine power, not regular power.
Divine.
Now, divine depicts also supernatural. It also emphasized the scripture tonight is calling you into another realm.
Amen.
Now, it's not regular. It's revelatory.
Amen.
Got that?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't go in this realm regularly. It has to, the Holy Spirit, because it's divine power, the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you. Say reveal.
Reveal.
Yeah, see, every Christian have the right to see something the other person don't see. And when revelation start flowing, people act different. Your conviction change, your conscious change, your condition change, your courage change, your confidence changes. You're not a helpless creature because you have seen something God has showed you, and you have an assurance that is not normal. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is where we must go. We must not be just be a church member. We must not. See, when church member, you find out who church members are when something like this come along. Why would you get scared of old dog that don't have no teeth? He dead already. He just barely can walk. I just had to say that. That felt good, you know. I don't know where it come from, but it just sounded good. All right, verse 3. According as his divine power has, past tense. See? Now, oh my. That's kind of, I want you to see this. I'm not going to pass it up. Ephesians 1:3. That is powerful, man. See, this is already ours. You understand what I'm saying? This is already yours. I'm looking at you. This is already yours. Yeah, you. I'm looking at you. It's already yours. It's already mine. Say that. Do this. It's already mine. Say, do that. Do that. I'm looking at you, girl. Say, do that. It's already mine. Come on. All right. It's already mine. It's already yours. See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all the promises are spiritual blessing promises.
Amen.
Got that?
Yes,
see, all the promises in God's word is spiritual blessing promises, and he has already blessed us with them. And so I told you, promises, partnership, persuasion.
Amen.
Other words, the promises are there. You come in partnership by faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you stay in faith long enough until you're persuaded.
Yes.
When you're persuaded, then it gives God the right to perform it. Now go back to Peter. Now I'll try to get through here. According to his divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. You with me?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 now. Very important. Because he called these things. I like the way the Holy Spirit did this. He says, whereby are given unto us what?
Exceeding.
What is that? Wait, hold up. Don't pass that word up. Exceeding.
Exceeding.
What? Exceeding. What's happening? Exceeding. What? Huh? Let's see. What is it? Ephesians 3:20?
Yes,
huh?
Yes,
don't be telling me yes sir if you don't know what it said.
Yes,
see, exceeding. Exceed. In other words, where you need to know why everything else and everybody else stop. Your God can still exceed that. You have to learn that you have the ability to live on or in or on a divine extension all the time. In other words, where everybody else stopped, by revelation, by your connection with God and by your trusting in God, it's not the place you stop.
Amen.
You must always be arriving.
Amen.
You never arrive because, I mean, you can't, the exceeding God, God always exceeding everything, so you got to exceed the blessing he gave you.
Amen.
Or you wouldn't be God. So if anything finalized in your life, you're not serving God no more. Because God wanna give it, God wanna do something else. See, God is a non-stop God. He's a God that don't have no levels. When the world systems think you have reached the highest level, God said, come on, I'm gonna take you a little higher. Because I can't let them be equal with me. I can't let science, psychology, I can't let no committee, no university be on my level. And so, by the Spirit of grace, you about to excel. Man, excelling anointing. wrap yourself around you. If you're in school, I don't care what you're in marriage. I don't care what you need a promotion on your job. I don't care if you need to excel in your body. I don't care in your finances. I don't care what it is. I'm releasing an excelling anointing that you can exceed every mark you've been to. You're about to make another mark. Tell somebody, I'm about to make another mark. Tell them. You understand what the Spirit of God is saying? I'm about to make another mark up in here. All right, sit down. I'm trying to get the subject to you. Whereby are given to us exceeding, and then the word great and precious promises. Now, I know he told you that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, and then you escape the corruption, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right. Write this down. The believer embracing the promises of God. Embracing the promises of God. Knowing how to embrace the promises of God. Go back to Matthew 5 now. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you my second subject. The secrets of having the right attitude about the promises of God. Now you can't have the right attitude if you don't know the ramification of the promises or the revelation of the promises. So that's my assignment tonight, to show you some things, show you some of the master promises going to be set before you tonight. The master promises from the master. All right. Here in Matthew 5, now let me read quickly. And seeing the multitude, verse 1, he went up into a mountain, and when he was said, talking about Jesus, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, for they shall be. That's promises, you see. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, here's a promise, for they shall obtain mercy. See it? Yes. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, promise, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Then he said in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For here's a promise now. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophet which were before you. All right. Having the right attitude.
Yes, sir.
And paying proper attention to the promises of God is about to take you on a flight that the average believer will never see nor experience. I'm going to give you that again now because you got to pay attention now. Having the right attitude. See, be attitude is talking about your attitude. Having the right attitude and paying proper attention to the promises of God is about to take you on a flight that the average believer will never see or experience. Jesus here deal with the master promises of the kingdom of heaven. That's what he started teaching about, the promises. At the end of every one of those beatitudes, there's a promise being fulfilled. If you do it.
Amen.
Now, yeah. You must stop accepting and stop suffering from immaturity.
Yeah.
You must stop accepting and stop suffering for immaturity. These promises that I'm going to share with you, you need to grow up. From Hebrews 5:11 to Hebrews 6:1-6, you're going to find out what immaturity will do to you. It'll keep you in the elementary realm of the spirit, and you'll never really enjoy your fruition of your full walk with Christ. I might read it later on, but I'm not going to read it now because I got something I want to get to, something I really won't get to. Something going to hurt somebody's feeling or something. Because I really need to hurt somebody up in here tonight. Because I want them blessed. All right, look at Matthew 5 again. And seeing them, verse 1, seeing the multitude, talking about Jesus, right? All right, he went up into what? A mountain. He went up into a mountain. Seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into a mountain. He didn't go to the multitude. He went up into the mountain, right? You got that? And when he was set up in the mountain, his disciples came unto him. Here's the statement I want. Here's the statement I want you to see. Be willing to climb as a disciple where the multitude will not go. Boy, y'all ain't gonna cheat me up in here. See, you have to have revelation enough. Revelation enough to go somewhere. What y'all doing tonight? See, to climb, see, disciples climb. Multitude want comfort. They don't want to make no effort. They want normal pattern. You change the pattern, I ain't coming. He didn't say the multitude couldn't come up there. They just didn't go. Because I know I've sneaked in places where I know something was going on. Yeah. I went, the guys got up, I got a tour. I wasn't supposed to go, but I went with them because I want to get back behind the curtain where the man was. The man was talking. You can get back there if you want to get back there. Yeah. Oh, see, climbing. See, are you willing to climb? Tonight you're climbing. You honor God tonight by being here. Be willing to climb as a disciple where the multitude will not go. Oh, my. Look in John 16 for a minute. Let me explain that. Let me look in John 16. And they look at you like you stupid. Somebody's stupid, but I don't know who it is, but they look at you like you stupid. In John 16, you know, I'm not talking about anybody particular, I'm talking about everybody. You know, I ain't got time to be picking on nobody, but I just trying to get the record set straight that you're going to have to climb, you're going to have to trust God, you're going to have to move, and God is embarrassing to God if you don't trust him. He ain't saying he'll never let you down. Yeah, I know he'll never let you down. You ain't even nowhere wrong. He ain't gonna let you down. John 16, verse 12. Now this verse is kindred to Hebrews 5. So read Hebrews 5 sometime this week when you get home. But I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now he talked about the power for the Holy Spirit coming, but if you're not a student, if you're not willing to climb, you're not gonna get what you're supposed to get. Because you're down there with the multitude. The multitude didn't even hear the beatitude. So they couldn't operate like those who went up on the mountain. The disciples probably taught some of them, but my God. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's here. He will guide you into all truth, for you do not speak of himself in verse 13. But whatsoever you should hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You glorify me, for you shall receive a mind, show it through to you. You see it? Yes. Talking about the job of the Holy Spirit. Yes. All right. Jesus has some places he wants to take you through the revelation of his promises. I want you to get that. I want you to get put you some kind of note. Jesus has some places he wants to take you through, say through, the revelation of his promises. Revelation. Now, I say promises. I say revelation of his promises. Now, let me say the whole thing to you. You got your shouting clothes? Jesus has some places he wants to take you through the revelation of his promises where you never will be stopped from advancing again. See? Listen. To activate the promises of God, you will have to separate from the multitude. Somebody always coming up with some excuse. So, let me hurry. Avail yourself tonight to take an impartation of the promise-keeping anointing. Avail yourself tonight to take an impartation of the promise-keeping anointing. I'm going to get to those beatitudes in a few minutes. I'm just trying to get you, prelude your form. you listening? Jesus, this is what he said to me when I was studying. Jesus is ready to give you the revelation of his promises that will set you apart from the crowd in a blessed place. Who listening? Oh, play something, son. You like drumming, like I just said something, like I said something important. Yeah, that's it. Man, this is a powerful statement. Jesus is ready to give you the revelation of his promises that will set you apart from the crowd in a blessed place. Boy, you ain't played. I said it again. I got to train you. Now, this one, you got to really be listening. Instead of just seeing Jesus' lesson here as the Sermon on the Mount, that's what they call it in the fifth chapter. You must be able to see it as the Sword on the Mount. Hebrews 4:12, Ephesians 6:7. And then you must stop hanging with or listening to the multitude. Amen. All right, let's go back to Matthew 5, and I want to have some fun here tonight. Matthew 5, because we want to study these promises, and I want you to see some things out of these promises that will mark your life forever. Verse 3 of Matthew 5. It is a promise, or it is promises that is calling, listen to me very carefully, calling for partnership. Calling for persuasion. And then they will be performed. And so you're embracing them because you know how powerful they are. Yes. All right? Amen. So we'll read your part, and God cannot do his part unless you do your part. Yes. Look at verse 3. Now I'm going to break it down for you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven is the promise. But the first part is the participation. So if you don't understand the participation, you'll never get to the promise. What do you mean by poor in spirit? These bring their minds to their condition when it is a low condition. I can't do it. I need help. They are humble and lowly in their own eyes. They see their wants, bewail their guilt, and thirst after a redeemer. See, we got to have that now. See, just because you know 19 scriptures don't mean, baby, you ain't out yet. So you have to. Poor in spirit means I'm hungry. I can't make it by myself. I got to have his help. I don't care if I got a harvest degree. I don't care how much money I got. I still need his help. I don't care how many scriptures I don't care how many times I've danced. I don't care who I know. I don't care what kind of job I got. I don't care how much money I got in the bank. I still need his help. See, that's the poor in spirit. You got to stay low and poor in spirit so God can bless you. You can't get high-minded. You can't get full of pride. You can't toot your nose up at people. You got to be kind and speak. Two of them young boys I got saved, I was riding out in my Rolls Royce, and I was coming out into the church because I got a driver's license. I don't drive it enough. Lights start coming on if you don't drive it. And so the boys passed me. I met me in the truck. So I said, Lord, what you want me to do? Now, these the two? And he told me, cycle. So I went down to First Street. He wasn't coming down to First Street. He wasn't coming down to Second Street. He wasn't coming down to Third Street. Third Street. They were coming down my back street. And I met him. I flagged him down. I said, young man, can I talk to you? See, I already had the attention. And it wasn't me. And he said, yes, sir. I said, son, I'm going to ask you an important question. Have y'all ever been born again and accept Jesus in your heart and pray? No, sir. I said, you ready to get saved? Yes, sir. Let's get saved. So I led them into Christ, and I let them text their name in there and send it to y'all. And one young man asked me a question. Y'all ain't going to believe this. He said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. It is true you got a talking dog. I said, what? He said, do you have a talking dog? No, I said, I have a dog you can talk to. And he act like a human, but he never talked back to me. I just thought you might want to hear it again. I never heard, do you have a talking dog? But the boys got saved. That's a good thing. That's a good thing about it. Talking dog. Do you recognize you have shortcomings? Yes. Do you ever acknowledge your shortcomings? Yes. Or do you try to take a scripture and smother your shortcomings? Do you ever admit you're wrong? Yes. Do you always have to be right? Poor in spirit. You got to keep that. You can't get rid of that. You got to know when you're guilty. You know, you got to know when you got to repent. I'm saying I'm sorry. You know, you got to shut your mouth up sometimes. You know, this is organ, shut up. Listen. Somebody might be able to tell you something. See, that's what the Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, a person recognizes their insufficiency, their inadequacies, that they are impotent. They can't produce by themselves. There are some things you can't birth. Some things you can't bring to pass. And God said, oh, you can't bring it? You acknowledge you can't bring it? Then he's ready to bring it for you. But when you're high mind and high strung out and, you know, and you're talking like you could do anything, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, heaven can bag a man up who is poor in spirit. Heaven come to your rescue. See, that's the way I preach. I'm poor in spirit. I can't handle it. Some of y'all out there with them degrees looking at me. You say, wonder how pastor do that. I ain't doing it. I trust the Holy Ghost. And I feel the Holy Ghost about to come in here now. See, the Holy Ghost love when you trust him. He love when you know your insufficiency. He love when you depend upon him. He love when you don't know the next step to make. He love it when you wake up in the morning and say, God, what you want me to do? He love that. He'll back you up. Then you go to verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Nothing wrong with crying. Nothing wrong with crying. Matter of fact, crying is an aspect of your life. When you're in grief, the tears help you some. But what's wrong is when they say, you have maybe at a funeral or maybe a bad breakup in a marriage, but they say at a funeral God plucked the flower out because he wanted another flower in glory. That ain't no, don't listen to that. That's somebody didn't know nothing to say. You just should have shut up and just went on by and let the other person talk to you. Don't come tell me about God wanted no flower. My loved one dead and left me here and you talking about God wanted a flower. God don't need no doggone flower. God the one made all the flowers. All this crazy stuff, man. God needed it. That godly sorrow which worketh true repentance. Listen, I'm getting you now. This God, the mourn. Those that are mourn will be happy. That godly sorrow which worketh true repentance. Watchfulness, a humble mind, a continual dependence for acceptance on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. You see, that's what he talked about mourn. With constant seeking the Holy Spirit to cleanse away the remaining evil seen here to be intended. I need the Holy Spirit to keep me clean. I need mercy. Heaven is the joy of our Lord, a mountain of joy. To watch our way is through a veil of tears. Such mourners shall be comforted by God. Look at that verse now. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So ain't nothing wrong with mourning. I heard one minister say, but just don't mourn too long. Go back to work. Time to stop crying now. You won't cry. I can't make no go. Get out of here now. It's time to go. You done cried 5 or 6 days. Time to go now. You see what I'm saying? Because the enemy will trick you with that. You got to finally hook up. Your humanism hurting you, but you got to find it, hook up now, and get on a rack and walk with God now. Say, God, I want you to carry me from this day forward now. I know I can't do nothing about this. Let's go. I got to go forward now. You follow me? So, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, if you don't ever, both of those, like if you don't ever sense your insufficiency, if you can't ever admit to your downfall, you will never be confident because Satan's stacking a deck on you. He got you believing you're right and you know you're wrong. You won't repent. That's two. Let's go to the next one. There's a promise. Blessed are the meek. What he said? What the promise is? That's why you don't have some stuff. That's why you don't have some stuff. That's why some stuff you haven't inherited yet. Because you're not meek enough. You're clowning what you got already. You're clowning and acting up. Sometimes you speak and sometimes you know if you get the other two things, how you going to act. You just see my point? I'm trying to draw some points out. You know some people like that. Huh? A person got a back porch and a front porch on their house? Oh, Jesus, you can't talk to them. How dumb this sounds. Don't let them get the two rows bush to grow at the same height. I mean, y'all, I don't know where I come from. Y'all might get feet on that. I just can't. You can't even talk to them. All right, blessed are. Oh, my God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, listen, this promise holds all prosperity. That verse holds the key to all that God owns. What in the word? M-E-E. You can't do this yourself. Leroy can't do it either. But if you yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll give you a meek anointing. Kill pride. Kill arrogance. Stop your ego. Negro. I couldn't let that pass either. Stop your ego. Stop your Negro. Meek. I'm talking about meek, you know, because black folk prejudice. Y'all just as prejudiced y'all can be. I'm going to put it on everybody else. You prejudice yourself. Let the Lord help you. Yeah. Come on, I'm going to tell the truth. Let the Lord, the Lord, the only one can help anybody, any culture, any race, any creed. It's only the Lord can make you love everybody. Y'all that like y'all ain't got no prayer. Y'all, I am. I love everybody. Me, what'd you say last night? The meat. Get this, don't miss this. The meek are those who quietly submit to God. Wait a minute, you ain't gonna like it, but I'm gonna tell you. The meek are the one who can bear insult. Are solemn. Or return a soft answer. Help me, Lord. I'm getting better. Yeah, help you. I know you need help. You just want to say it to a sister. Who in their patience keep possession of their own soul. When they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. But that soul, they keep that ego, they keep all that set down. Best of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These meek ones are happy even in this world. Ready? Y'all better not miss this. Meekness promote wealth, comfort, and safety even in this world. Oh, give me that. Give me some meekness. Meekness promote wealth. Shut up. Just let God promote you. Somebody done said, somebody, you don't know how to do your job? Just hold tight. Don't fight back. Let God be me. Man, listen. Look. Blessed are the meek. Say it. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Look at Psalm 37 and 11 and see what it said. Blessed are the meek. Psalm 37. Put it on the board. 37 and 11. I haven't even read it, but I remember it. I read it before. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit. See, your inheritance can't automatically come to you. You have to be in a certain position for your inheritance to come to you. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Look at Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord make it rich. Ha, 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 ha. And happy. He had no sorrow with it. You see it? Promote wealth, comfort, and safety even in this world. Let's go to the next one. Quickly, we're doing good. We're good. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they, verse 6, right? Yes, in verse 6, y'all help me preach. Yeah, verse 6. Y'all don't know what verse I mean? Saved. Am I what verse? Verse 6. All right. I don't want you all up in verse 13 and all that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that's your part. The promise is what? So if you don't get filled, what happens? God couldn't do it, right? No. It ain't God. It's you. You got the vow shirt on. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I told you 47 years ago, God gave me this. This verse? Huh? That my wife is over there. That my son. That my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. They know. God gave me this. And he gave me the promise. Not overnight, but once he saw I was serious, he said, Leroy, you can have anything you want. And I don't have yours. So you can catch on tonight and go get it because I don't have it. I got mine. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You remember the gospel saying in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, it talks about rivers of living water flowing out of you, you know? Now let me give you some points on this. Those who thirst after righteousness are happy. Righteousness is here. It put for a spiritual blessing. There's some blessing that the righteous get. Well, he says that, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, right? Here's why. These are purchased for us by the righteousness of Christ, confirmed by the faithfulness of God. Now listen, class, if we separate the boys from the girls and the man from the women, boys from the men from the boys. I got to get it straight up here. And the women from the girls. I can't be mixing them up, you know. See, righteousness is the only thing. Hunger and thirst is the only thing. I'm going to make a statement, so I'm going to talk about it in a minute to get you focused in where you can, this can become a part of your life. Righteousness has kinship to holiness and sanctification and cleansiness. All right? All right, all right. So get this statement now. Our desires of spiritual blessing must be honest. In other words, God cannot be tricked with scriptures. Though all desires for grace are not grace, yet such as desired as this is the desire of God's own raising, and he will not forsake the work of his own hand. All right, let me get him heard. The merciful. The merciful. Blessed are the merciful for what happened? This ain't gonna sound too good yet. I think we must not only bear our affliction patiently, but we must do all we can to help those who are in misery. But I got problem. I'm gonna help somebody else. I got problem. Why are you helping somebody else? You go back and your problem is not there. Somebody passed up and picked your problem up while you was out on a mission. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want mercy, but you won't give no mercy. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I know you did it. I'm just waiting on my chance. We must have compassion on the souls of others and help them. Pity those who are in sin. And sneak to snatch them as brand out of the burning. In other words, people in sin. You can't go around talking about, oh, you know, she sinned. You know. If you're not going to help them, just shut up. Because all you're trying to do is make yourself look good. You try to hide your sin. Because yours is not as hideous as hers. She might have went, but you're looking. You know what Jesus said about that, right? All right, what one we on now? Pure in heart?
Yes, sir.
Pure in heart? But did you see God? That's the one we on?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yes, sir. Huh? You don't want to skip that one. Blessed are the pure in heart. Uh-huh. For they shall see God. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Holiness and happiness are fully described and put together. Pure in heart. The heart must be purified by faith and kept for God. David, when he had messed up, you remember in the 51st Psalm?
Yes,
create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. None but the pure are capable of seeing God. Nor would happiness, or nor would heaven be happiness to the impure.
Amen.
You understood that?
Yes, sir.
Huh? See, if you're not pure in heart, God ain't gonna let you get too close to Him. But He made a way for your heart to be pure, even if you messed up. Take it. Take the opportunity. Take the opportunity to know that you're human, you're going to mess up sometime, but take the opportunity to get yourself right. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Pray it on a daily basis. If you want to be right, now you got to want to be right. But you're not right all the time. Creating such a clean heart. See, God cannot endure to look upon your iniquity. So they cannot look upon His purity. See, so if you're praying and your heart not right, the Holy Spirit is going to check you. Or you won't go no deeper or no higher. Because He see that spot, so He's going to convict you and try to give you a shell to know that I can't let you come no closer. But now you know how to do it, you know. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I know none of y'all don't cuss. I know nothing never slip out your mouth. Ain't nothing can slip out your mouth. You sent it out. Ain't nobody slip. Ain't no slip. You want to say that. Oh, my goodness. And then those are the peacemaker. Let me hurry. I got to close. The peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker.
Amen.
Now, if I was to ask, don't raise your hand. If I was to ask how many peacemakers up in here, I think it would be slim traveling. How many of you are willing to take the low seat when you know you're right? We got to prove this. We got to talk about this here. And you go get 3 or 4 books, you know, and you want to play a record, and then you'll get the newspaper, everything, Bible. Sometimes just take the low seed. See, the, somewhere in the scripture say, if you don't put no wood on the fire, it can't burn. Somebody got to shut up. Just shut up. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they should be called the children of God. What are they going to call you? That's what they say. That's what they describe. What I'm reading. Let me tell you something about a peacemaker quickly. They love and desire and delight in peace and study to be quiet. They keep the peace that it be not broken and recover it when it is broken. You actually can't fight a peacemaker. He just make you madder, but you can't fight him. You get in the bathroom by yourself, you say, you stupid thing, you didn't know that. They ain't said nothing wrong. It's just your stupid self. Then you come back out. They keep the peace that it be not broken and recover it when it is broken. If the peacemaker are blessed, woe be to the peace breaker. They ain't gonna be better at the house tonight, right? And then those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are happy, are blessed. This saying is peculiar to Christianity, and it is more loyally insisted upon than any of the rest. Yet there are nothing in our suffering that can merit of God. But God will provide that those who lose for him though life itself should not lose by him in the end. So you're going to have some persecution. If you desire to live right, there are those going to persecute you, and then there are church members going to persecute you. You know, I've been persecuted as a pastor, as a preacher, you know. But you can't stop all them little fires out. You got other people depending on you, Peter. You got to go forward and keep going forward. So these master promises here, because for a long time I didn't see them as promises. See, on the end, on the first, they said, blessed are the pure in heart, promise, for they shall see God. So these are masterful, now listen to me, kingdom promises. These are promises on how the kingdom functions. See, you can take either one of them tomorrow. You can read those, and you say, all right, Holy Spirit, I want this applied to my life. Yep. And you know if you do your part, you know God's going to do his part, right? Yes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God in any given situation you're dealing with. Come on. Yeah. See God. See the answer. See the power. See the deliverance. See the victory. Because you got a pure heart. God said, I can work with that. Remember the crowd, the multitude, they're not going to see all this. Why? Why they're not going to see it? They won't climb. See, the Broadway, said many going to be on the Broadway. The wide gate, they're going to be fumbling through the wide gate. But the straight gate, when I first walked up here, in my closing, the Lord says, there are only going to be a remnant in this realm. So as a young Baptist boy preacher, and I've been preaching for a long time, I wonder why people, after you done preach and give them clear instruction, still go back and do back the same thing like they won't do. Why are the members not here tonight? All them spiritual people. Yes, sir. Some of them have been teaching them for 25, 30 years. They're not here. Come on, sir. They don't trust me. They don't trust the word. Come on, sir. I'll follow you as long as it's comfortable. But I ain't taking no chance with you. Because you act like you're out your mind sometimes. I am. I'm following God. You follow what I'm saying? So these Beatitudes, I want y'all to read them over and let the Holy Spirit speak some things to you. Read what you got to do and read what he promised. If you don't do your part, he cannot do the other part. But he landed out. This is the way you live in the kingdom. Nothing wrong with being poor in spirit. Nothing wrong with seeing your insufficiency. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I can't go no further. I can't handle this. I need some help. Yes. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I failed. Yes. See, all this positive, optimistic, self-help stuff will mess you up because you won't repent. Come on, I can't say that. You better get on your knees and cry out to God. Come on, I confess that I'm strong. And you better add it up. I missed it, Lord. Have mercy on me. See what I'm saying? Very important. All right. All right. Get your envelope. You get 535 online.